I've been to two world championships in Helsinki and in Finland, in Tampere, and I mean the fan support is terrific. It doesn't matter who's playing, the fans are there. So as much as we love our hockey in Canada, certainly there's other countries that love their hockey just as much, and they're getting a chance to host these events.
Welcome to Ground Control, the official podcast of the Winnipeg Jets, the holiday edition. Merry Christmas and Happy New Year to everybody. This is the last podcast before the 2024 portion of the NHL Jets schedule begins, and my special guest is Dennis Bayak, the former voice of the Winnipeg Jets. Dennis, thank you so much for joining us. And how have you taken some time to see what's going on here in Winnipeg with the Jets and how well they've been playing so far?
Oh, absolutely. There's not many games that I don't get to watch. There's the odd one that with the time change and that kind of messes things up from a dinner standpoint or whatever. But no, I've watched the majority of the games, and it's fun to watch and see what they're doing. It's great to see them having a great campaign. And I know there's been some adversity with Coach Rick Bowness. We wish them nothing but the best. And that, but certainly the team is exciting to watch and having a lot of success right now. Just got to try and get healthy and stay healthy.
Yeah, do you ever think while you're watching this going down right now how good this team could be if, both Gabe Vilardi and Kyle Connor are all together at the same time? Of course, Rasmus Kupari is still out of the lineup. They're still waiting for Ville Heinola to come back. It just makes you wonder how good this team can be if they can just stay healthy.
Well, the trade with LA was so good. I mean, regardless, it wouldn't matter whether Pierre-Luc Dubois was leading the National Hockey League in scoring. It was still a very good trade for the Winnipeg Jets because it brought in some depth, and that's what they lacked. That's what they needed. And Kevin Cheveldayoff made that deal, and it will be nice to see Rasmus Kupari get back in on a full-time basis because with my coverage of World Juniors over the years, I've seen quite a bit of Rasmus Kupari, and I think he's a pretty good hockey player. So, but yeah, it's great to see what the new guys are doing with the injuries, what it's done. And this has always been toyed with, whether Nikolaj Ehlers and Mark Scheifele could play together. And the feeling always was if you left them together long enough, they would figure it out how to play with each other. And I know Nikolaj was critical of his game after the game last night, but I mean, he's on a very nice run here right now. So when everybody gets back, certainly Rick Bowness will have some options and things you can look at and spread that offense around a little bit. That the Lowry line is as good as there is in the National Hockey League, and get healthy and see where it takes you.
Dennis, you've covered and been around Nikolaj Ehlers for such a long time. Do you still, marvel at the fact that he's so critical of himself on a night where the rest of us are probably thinking that he had a great night?
I know. And I mean, self-evaluation can be a good thing, but it can also be a bad thing, I think, sometimes. And you're not going to be at your best for 82 games. Doesn't matter whether you're Wayne Gretzky, Connor McDavid, or Nikolaj Ehlers. There's going to be periods, there's going to be games where things aren't going 100% for you. And that's part of it. That's part of life, for that matter, let alone sports. So it's really nice to see him on this little run that he has going right now. And we'll see where it goes from there. I mean, there's areas you like to see the power play get a little better. I think penalty kill stats are a little bit deceiving because got off to a bit of a tough start and that. But I like what I see from this team, and certainly like what I see with that top line with Nikolaj Ehlers on it.
Oh, Dennis Bayak, our special guest here on Ground Control, the official podcast, the Winnipeg Jets. Clearly, I brought you on to talk about the Jets, and also, how are you enjoying a pseudo retirement right now? I guess because you're not there just quite yet.
Well, it's been enjoyable. Spent quite a bit of time in Arizona. That's where we are now, and enjoying the very nice that they're having down here compared to the last couple of years. Much like Canada, where in British Columbia last year in Kelowna, we had so much snow by this time, and it looks like it's going to be a brown Christmas or a green Christmas, I guess, in Kelowna. So certainly from a weather standpoint, it's been very different, but. No, it's been good. Very much enjoyed it. And, we did a little bit of traveling, and we took some different routes on the way down here to do a little bit of sightseeing, which we wanted to do. So it was all good. So enjoying that. And, but the last 10 days or so, a lot of work, you know, getting ready for this World Junior Championship, which will be my last official event, and move on from there. But looking forward to it, and it's always a good tournament.
Whenever things are wrapping up, you're forced by many people, such as your good friend myself here, to look back on things. And let's go back to your first World Junior tournament. Do you remember the assignment and the excitement that came with that first assignment?
Yeah, I remember when I got the call from Paul Graham at TSN said, you know, we'd like you to come in and do the World Junior. It's going to mean missing a few Jets games, but we'd like you to come in and do it. And I mean, some of it goes all the way back to right off the hop that second year in Winnipeg when Shane Knighty and I went to Wafa to do TSN radio. And Jacob Trouba, I think, was in that one. There was a few other guys that were in that one. So that was the first experience. And then after, when the tournament was in Canada for a couple of years, you mentioned Nikolai Ehlers and the one in Toronto back in 2015. I mean, the Toronto fans loved that Denmark team. They were so exciting. And I remember the celebration in the dressing room when Denmark won its first ever World Junior Hockey League game. And it was a big turning point for that country, big turning point for those young players. But lots of highlights over the years, some good, some bad. The 2016 World Junior in Finland, I think, was one of the best. That was the Finland win that featured Patrick Laine, Sebastian Aho, and Jesse Puljujärvi. What a terrific line they were. So a lot of highlights. And keep in mind that I don't spend a lot of time on the Canadian side.
Yeah, yes, of course.
A lot of my highlights are involving European teams and European players. But the one in Buffalo, maybe the downside of it, very poorly attended. And it was so cold in Buffalo. It was just freezing. After day one, you know, our people that were up in the broadcast booth with us went out and got heaters because just freezing up there. It was because there was no fans in the building. You could actually, you could feel the wind coming in from the outside. And you know, they maybe overpriced it. And as a result, the fan support wasn't very good in Buffalo. Then, of course, you had the one at Red Deer that was canceled after it started, too many players coming down with COVID. The summer tournament, for the first time ever, the World Junior was played in the summertime with no fans. You know, so that one will stand out. And, you know, lots of other ones. I mean, Russia getting kicked out was the right thing to do. And yet it certainly took away a very good team from the tournament. But at the same time, it gave some other countries the opportunity to get better. And I think we're seeing it with Latvia, we're seeing it with Germany, and we're seeing some of these countries just get a little bit better now that, you know, that they're getting the opportunity to play at the top level. And that's where you always have this controversy about should you have that many teams in it when some teams just can't compete? Well, that's the way you get better. You get better by competing against real good teams. And, you know, the one in Victoria where the Victoria fans became big fans of the Kazakhstan team. That didn't play very, you know, didn't have a lot of top players, but was they tried so hard and everything else. So I think when you combine the players, the fan support, and everything else, that's what makes this tournament as popular as it is. And then, of course, you go back to last year when the one in Moncton and Halifax was, I think, exactly what the hockey world needed. And Connor Bedard just became such a household name that after Christmas, the teams that played the Regina Pass were the benefactors because of just how fans were coming to the games just to watch Connor Bedard. So, yeah, it's been great. I've loved every minute of it and looking forward to this one, too.
Dennis, what would you say to those who, you know, criticize the tournament itself because it's a TSN event, right? They pump it up the way it is. But how do you respond to those types of critiques for a tournament that is just so huge to more people than you know, the average fan think? You know what I'm trying to say?
Well, I think that maybe you're going down the path that we put too much pressure on the young guys.
Yeah.
Is that kind of one of the areas that, you know, yes. I think with U16 teams now, U18s get covered very well. By TSN, those games are all televised. The women's game is getting televised a lot now. So I think the players kind of learn to appreciate that pressure. I'm sure there's some that it is a burden for them. And yet, I'm not sure if you ever asked Connor Bedard, do you think there was too much pressure on you last year? I don't think he would say, yes, there was. I think he loved absolutely every minute of it. And you look at what the Czechia team has done, what the Slovaks have done. Mm-hmm. It's a big tournament, and it does get covered a lot in Canada. There's no doubt. I mean, it becomes a Christmas tradition, and people take time off work if you are working through the holidays. And I guess there are some players that probably have a little trouble handling the pressure. Mm-hmm. But it gets them ready for what lies ahead, because as you well know, once you get to the National Hockey League, you put a few bad games together and people and the fans don't care that you're 19 or 20. You're in the National Hockey League and you're expected to perform.
How about the smaller cities in Canada? Clearly our country hosts this event quite often, but you mentioned last year's tournament. Is that the right place for the World Juniors rather than the larger markets, say like a Toronto or Montreal?
Well, that's been the big change in sports, and I'll stick with hockey because that's the one that I've been involved with. And it goes back to the Memorial Cup, even. Memorial Cup was always very successful in places like Saskatoon, Kamloops, and now every once in a while they look for bigger venues. But the World Junior is a real good example. It's gone from smaller centers to bigger venues because it all boils down to how many fans can you put in the building. And that's where Ottawa comes into play. That's where Vancouver comes into play. Toronto and Montreal had the two of them back-to-back back in 14, 15, 15, 16. So you do look for bigger buildings. And I guess it goes down to dollars. But I do think if you can have two venues, there's nothing worse than playing games at this level with no fans in the building. So I do think it's important to have a couple of venues, one that's a little smaller and one that can handle the 15, 16, 12, whatever thousand fans that are going to come to the games. But I think when you have Latvia playing Germany and Slovakia playing Czechia, these teams, I still think it's important that it doesn't matter if the building seats 20 or 3,000.
When you think of, no question the tournaments in our country are fantastic. How much have you enjoyed the European tournaments over the years? And I know you're not in a resort area, but how about Gothenburg, Sweden? You've been there before. How important is it to play in these venues going forward?
Well, it's important for those centers because their hockey programs, I talked about the 2016 one in Helsinki. I mean, I've been to two world championships in Helsinki and in Finland, in Tampere. And the fan support is terrific. It doesn't matter who's playing, the fans are there. So as much as we love our hockey in Canada, certainly there's other countries that love their hockey just as much. And they're getting a chance to host these events. I've been to World Championships and World Juniors in Ostrava and Trenic a couple of years back held the World Junior, and just terrific support in both centers. So I think it's important to send this around. The World Junior will always be popular in Canada. The World Championship will never be popular in Canada because of the time of the year. You're going right up against the Stanley Cup playoffs. So it works out good for TSN and that, because the games are during the day at the World Championship and that. But these countries love when those tournaments come there. Obviously, the economic spinoff is important to their economy. But at the same time, the fan base is there. World Junior, you'd like to see it hit a jackpot we'll see where the next one is and how it does, because the World Junior just isn't as much as that development program that they have in Michigan is terrific. And it's produced some great hockey players and some great teams. Yeah. And the U.S. is probably the favorite to win this year's World Junior. And hey, when you have the tournaments in the U.S., you can't seem to get that same buzz.
Yeah, that's the wild part. Dennis, I know I have you trapped here for a second. We're going to take a quick break. We're going to do a play of the week. We'll be back right after this with more Dennis Bayak and the World Juniors. Great chat so far with Dennis Bayak, the former voice of the Winnipeg Jets on TSN. We'll get back to him momentarily. But, hey, we got to do the play of the week, you know. And I know there was another game against the Boston Bruins on the Friday, but we got to pre-record this because the holidays are here. Everybody needs a break. But you do not need a break from the top line of the Winnipeg Jets. They are on fire right now. Gabe Vilardi, Mark Scheifele, and Nikolaj Ehlers seem to be the only people in the play of the week as of this time. And that is no different in the game against the Detroit Red Wings. A beautiful soccer-style pass from Nikolaj Ehlers is our play of the week. We'll be back with Dennis Bayak after this.
For Vilardi, carries it into the corner for Ehlers, back in behind the net. Ehlers now for Vilardi, out in front for Scheifele, a shot, he scores! What a beauty goal, and Winnipeg has scored it all, three periods, and they lead it 5-2.
I think Nikolaj Ehlers ends up kicking this puck out to beat two Red Wings. Right to Vilardi, who's in a perfect puck support spot.
Are you looking for something to do over the holidays? Well, we have an answer for you. Go to winnipegjets.com/tickets. Everything you need is right there. You can go to the New Year's Eve game. It's a matinee affair against the Minnesota Wild. Or on January 2nd, the first game of 2024, the Tampa Bay Lightning are in town. And I guarantee you right now, those games are never boring. You don't have a bad choice here. It's the Wild on New Year's Eve. Or the Tampa Bay Lightning on January 2nd. Get tickets to one or both at winnipegjets.com/tickets.
Hi, I'm Cole Perfetti.
Rebound, they score!
And this is the Ground Control Podcast.
Dennis Bayak, our special guest here on Ground Control, the official podcast of the Winnipeg Jets, just about to take off for Sweden for the World Juniors, his final World Juniors. And you just mentioned before the break, Dennis, about the United States. They're in your pool this year, one of the gold medal favorites. What have you, from your research clearly and what you've seen, what do you like about this U.S. team in your pool?
The teams that they play against might need to bring their own puck.
I know.
I don't know if one puck is going to get shared very equally with that USA team. You look at the ones that are coming up, the players that are coming up from the U18 team, that was so dynamic. And you look at the offensive numbers of the Cutter Gauthiers and the Snuggerudes and the younger players that are coming from that U18 squad. And this is a very, very good team. Defensively, Lane Hutson is another terrific year in college. And if Trey Augustine can give them the goaltending that he probably will, because his track record says that he can do it. This is a very, very good team, and a team that offensively is very gifted. And the key to playing against them is try and keep them in their own end for as long as you possibly can, because it's a very, very offensive-minded squad and very gifted.
When you think of, clearly Jets fans have, you know, they're going to be cheering for Canada, but at some point you watch the prospects. Rutger McGroarty was named captain the other day of the United States. He has made himself, you know, quite the legend here in Winnipeg in the short time that he's been a Winnipeg Jet, clearly from the development camp this past summer. There was a question at one point that was he even going to make the tournament. Now he's captain. What have you thought of young Rutger McGroarty in the short time that you've seen him play?
Well, and they were really paying a lot of attention, Team USA was, to what his health was, whether or not he'd be back. And I think even if it meant missing the first few games, he'll miss the odd game at the start. I don't know where his health status is, but to Team USA, it was imperative to have him on the roster because they wanted to put that C on his jersey. That's how much they think leadership skills. Quality person in the dressing room. You've seen what he does on the ice, and a very, very key part, because if there is going to be some rough moments for Team USA, and there will be, there always is, it's going to be like him that are going to be in that room, settling everybody down, back to what we do best here, playing. Because even though the tournament is in Sweden, these players, back to what we talked about before, these young players know what the expectation of this team is. And that's going to be their challenge. Older players like Rutger are going to be very critical to them attaining where they want to get to in this tournament.
Canada's clearly in Group A as we talk with Dennis Bayak, the former voice of the Winnipeg Jets, doing his last World Junior tournament, this time in Sweden. So you have the United States, a clear favorite. Are there anybody, the Czechias, the Slovakias, the Switzerlands, the Norway, that can make things interesting for the United States in Group B?
Well, Slovakia is an interesting team. Czechia had their run last year, mm-hmm. a good team. And like Canada, some of these teams are dealing with players not being on the roster because they're in the National Hockey League. But Slovakia could do some damage. If they can, sometimes teams like Slovakia, Czechia's gotten over it, I think. Still think at times Slovakia looks at who they're playing and their mindset is we can't win this game. And little by little, I think they're getting, because they've got a lot of first round picks on this roster. And they can come together as a team. And years ago, Czechia was the team. It didn't matter where the players played. When they all got back together, they just simply played that style. And Slovakia, if they can get to their style, because their coaching staff is always dealing with trying to instill some confidence in this group. And there's a lot of first-round picks. There's a lot of drafted players. They have some size. And if it comes down to a one game event, who knows what might happen in the quarterfinals. And that day is the quarter, because that's the day you lose in home. After that, you're playing for a medal, but that's the tough day. But I do think is going to be okay.
Yeah.
But I think Slovakia can do some damage.
Okay, so thoughts on your last tournament? Like, has it gone by fast? Are there any, regrets? Anything like that? This is coming to a close so quickly.
Jamie, I don't live in the past.
Yeah,
decisions,
I know you don't.
Decisions, we don't make decisions quickly. I talk things over with my best friend and my wife Bev, and we kind of map out a path as to what we want to do and where we want to go. And then decisions are made and no regrets. Do I miss what I did in Winnipeg and what I did in the National Hockey League? Absolutely. I miss the people. I miss sitting around at practice and talking hockey with you and everybody else in that corner at the arena. I miss the people that I work with and that. And I try not to bother people too much, but every once in a while I'll fire off to whether it be Shane Knighty and Gary Lawless, if I'm watching the Vegas broadcast, or Kevin Sawyer and Dan Robertson, if it's the Jets broadcast, whatever. So, but I do. I miss the people more than anything else. And that's what it'll be. That's why this World Junior was a good one, because a lot of times, like last year, one group was in Halifax. We were in Moncton. Mm-hmm. The odd time it happens that everybody's in the same city if there's two facilities to handle the World Junior. And that's the case this year in Gothenburg. There's two cities, or there's two venues there. So everybody is in the same city, and I think that's important. We're all at the same hotel. We're all there together. So it'll be a good tournament to kind of be with everybody one last time, and then pass this on to somebody else and let somebody else have the fun that I've had over the last number of years.
Clearly, Jets fans are listening or watching this podcast. Any messages for them as we wrap up the pod?
Well, I remember last year, or 2 years ago, I guess, when I was retiring, I said, don't give up on this team. Mm-hmm. And because there's a lot of good pieces in that dressing room and they've moved it around. They brought in some other pieces. I just think for the Winnipeg Jets fans, you've got a very exciting team there. I know there's been some talk about attendance. We're not going to go down that road because I think it's going to get better and better.
It will.
As fans appreciate how good this team is. And you get into the second half of the year where every game is going to mean something. They find themselves, as we talk right now, in top spot in the Central Division. So just enjoy what you have. You've got a very exciting team. It's great to see the players that came in as boys and now to see them play as men. The Josh Morrissey's, the Mark Scheifele's, remember, back in junior, that was always the thing. You saw these kids come in at 15 and 16 and then they left at 19 and 20 and they were such different people.
Yes.
They've matured so much. And that's the same in the National Hockey League. You see these players come in at 19 and 20 and all of a sudden now they're 27, 28. And remember Paul Maurice saying, this is no longer a young team. And you know, and Rick Bonus and Scott Arneal have come in with the rest of the crew there and done a real good job. So you've got an exciting team. Enjoy it. And other than that, just wish everybody a very Merry Christmas, Happy New Year, Happy Holidays. And I will always, always fondly remember my 11 years in Winnipeg.
Dennis, thank you so much for doing this. Safe travels to Sweden. We'll be listening and watching your final with World Juniors. And thank you so much for all you did here and everything you've done for Hockey Canada as well. Appreciate it. Happy New Year and Merry Christmas to you and your family.
Thank you, Jamie. All the best.
That's it for this final edition of 2024 or 2023. I'm getting ahead of myself. Ground Control, thank you so much to all our listeners and our viewers. We appreciate you. Have a great holiday season and Happy New Year to you. We'll see you next time.